It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com. Presented by nowandthenmagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I am so happy today because we get to welcome a very, very special artist that I have grown to love and get to know over the years. And he's had quite a journey with multiple Juno Award nominee. Don Amaro is here today on Music's Journey. We're so happy to have you here. So welcome to the show, Don.
Yay!
Pleasure, you guys. I'm doing, you know, all things considered, you know, fairly well. It's been a heck of a year for all of us. You know, as a musician, I'm there's a lot of loss this year. At the same time, you know, there's been a lot to keep me busy. Surprisingly, you know, always trying to innovate and think of new ways to do things. And my family's happy and healthy. And you know, honestly, there's not a whole lot more I can be asking for. So pretty good, all things considered.
Yes, because you have been pretty busy. And like coming off of your releases that you had, you know, that were coming off of, hang on one second here. I'm going to cough just one sec. Try not to sneeze.
Let it go.
Hang on.
Oh, let her rip.
The dangerous sneezes, yeah.
Let her rip. Come on.
Wait.
Get it out.
Trying not to
look at the light
love it.
You try so hard not to sneeze. Holy cow,
I had a sneeze in my mask yesterday. It was awful.
You forget.
Yeah, right? That would not be so cool.
And I'm one of those kind of sneezers that's like all or nothing, so it was bad.
Oh Lord.
And I was in the grocery store, so I was stuck with whatever situation I was in.
And then everybody's probably staring at you. Oh my God, he sneezed. Yeah. He sneezed.
He's got it.
Yeah. Can we keep this in the interview?
Yeah, we can.
It's funny.
It's very timely, maybe. Yeah,
probably. Well, I know that you've been really busy releasing quite a few songs. You know, I know that last year in the fall that you had released Music Lover. That is a really important song, too. Can you talk about that one?
Yeah, so I fell in love with that tune. So I didn't write it. So the other thing with this new project I'm on, part of the reason why I called my latest EPs The Next Chapter is because six of the seven songs on there I didn't write, but I really felt like a strong connection to these songs. And, you know, my sort of philosophy behind releasing music that other people have written has been, you know, there's these great, fantastic songs out there that need a vessel to sort of present them to the world. And, you know, I get to be that vessel for some of them. And this one, Music Lover, is no exception to that because I was working with my buddy, Danik Dupel. He's produced this EP. And we went to him with some songs and he said, oh, that's good. But I've got this one that I've been kind of sitting on and I think you can really nail this one. And he showed me Music Lover, and I was smitten right away. I love the vibe of the song. I think it was kind of different for me. It's kind of got this soul, this sexy, soulful kind of thing. And my wife is a huge Music Lover, and so, you know, for me, it really resonated. And I just felt, again, like it was one of those songs that I think was different enough for what's going on radio right now to sort of stand out. And also showcases what I can do as a vocalist, you know? So I think it was kind of on all fronts a song that I just latched onto, and thankfully others did too.
I am so happy. Like, I know that we were going to talk about just, you know, the next chapter, but I had to add those in there because they were such good songs. We're going to be talking about a few of them on top of the album that you have just released, which is The Next Chapter. And it's such an amazing journey for you. And it really showcases to me what you just said, and that was your vocal range. And that's what I loved about this. So let's play that one right now, and that's called Music Lover.
She gets my heart bumping like an 808, rattling my windows, shaking that bass. Ooh, ooh, yeah, ooh, ooh. And when she whispers, baby, it's a sweet sound like an old mixtape, makes you wanna make out. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Got hips like a rhythm and blues, and a kiss can rock and roll. Yeah, soulful touch can soothe, and her heart's pure solid country gold. I wanna turn her on like she's the radio. She moves me like and I'm a music lover. She got the Motown backbeat groove in a song stuck in my head, got me singing along. Like the needle does when the record spins. Ooh, she got hips like a rhythm and blues, and her kiss can rock and roll. Yeah, soulful touch can soothe, and her heart's pure solid country gold. I wanna turn her on like she's the radio. She moves me like no other. That can rock and roll. Yeah, soulful touch can soothe with her heart, pure solid country gold. I wanna turn her on like she's the radio. She moves me like no other. That girl is music. That girl is music. Oh, oh. And I'm a music lover. Mm-hmm. I'm a music lover.
Mm-hmm. That is Music Lover with Don Amaro. You're listening to Music's Journey on the Music's Journey podcast. I'm John Marshall. Now back with the Music's Journey podcast. Here is your host, Kim Sear.
You have had quite a milestone with this album. This is your seventh album, and this is The Next Chapter, which is out right now, and we want everybody to download, purchase it, share it, stream it. It's amazing when you listen to this seven song EP that a lot of fans don't realize. I think, you know, we can touch base on this with you too, Don. We talk about it often with a lot of the newer artists, but you know, you're a veteran at this, where fans love certain songs, but they might not be released onto radio, and they can be such great songs, but fans really have the opportunity to make those songs come alive and to be able to give an awful lot more to the album and to any award shows or Spotify or anybody else that's noticing the playlist, like Amazon, all of that, for all the streaming services. And they can contact their local radio stations if they love a song that you guys haven't released off of that as a single.
Yeah, you know, totally. I feel like, you know, the power still resides in the people, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, although, you know, these days it's hard to know where that line is, because, you know, I don't want to get too political, but we're all watching this, you know, presidential race. But mm-hmm. That's for another interview, I'm sure.
Yes, all in its own for another 3 hours or four, right?
But like, I think, you know, here's an example. So I think, you know, with my buddy Brett Kissel, and, you know, your buddy too, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. He put this song, I'm going to forget the title of the song, but it was off his latest album, and it was the second single, I think, from that album. And I'm struggling with the title of whether it was, but overwhelmingly the streaming services show that song was a hit with the fans. Mm-hmm. And of course he's got, you know, way more numbers than I do in that regard, but he could see, you know, very analytically, looking at all the numbers, who's really listening to what songs. And then they can go to radio saying, look, by the way, this song's already a hit with the fans. I think, you know, the power again still resides in the fans, and that mm-hmm. if they love a song and they get behind it, radio does respond. And you know, it's not always the case. I mean, I think radio, anytime a radio station gets a call from a fan saying, I'd love to hear this song, I just think that only helps. They may not get the spin right away, mm-hmm. or may not even get the spin on that song, but I think it plants a seed for the future for that artist, and kind of, again, opens that door. So, you know, if you're out there listening, you're like a fan of this country music and a fan of me, any of those phone calls to your radio stations only helps. So I always appreciate that.
Yeah, because I think it's important that we bring that up, because so many of the fans don't realize that. And, you know, that's why we're saying, like, they'll stream it, they'll share it, and absolutely that lets Spotify know and, you know, get you guys up on the top 100 and, you know, then the top 10. And it does make all the difference in the world. And I think right now, you know, when it comes to what I think of you in your career past and, you know, the road that you're leading down now, you've always chosen songs that inspire, you know, songs that really mean something to you. Can you talk about songs like Church? Because I know that one, just to be outside and just to be into nature and what it does for the soul, and that being your church is just such an amazing song. I don't want to miss that one. I know that it's not off this new EP, but I wanted to talk about that.
I love talking about Church, especially because I feel like that one for me changed my future. That song came out in 2017. We released that one, so not that long ago, a couple years ago. So it still feels relatively fresh to me. So that one came from some writers down in Nashville, Ashley Gorley, Hillary Lindsay, and Matt Jenkins. And believe it or not, when I first heard that song, I was like, oh, that is a fantastic song. But I actually passed on it. I said, yeah, but it's not a Don Amaro song.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, funny enough. And then so my manager said, so by the way, folks, I am a songwriter. I do a lot of my own writing. But I think this chapter that I'm on now has, you know, sort of led me to, again, some great songs sort of being pitched my way, and this song Church was one of them. And again, I almost passed on it. So what happened was, about a week after, you know, sort of saying that's not for me, my manager said that, just maybe can you just listen one more time? And I did. I took another pass through it, and it hit me in a whole new way, because about a year prior to hearing that song, my dad passed away. And so my dad had always said all my life that he was not a church going guy, but he'd always said that his church was the great outdoors. And, you know, often on any given Sunday morning, you could find him out near the water with a fishing pole in hand. And, you know, so there was so much comparison to my dad in that song. And I thought, holy smokes, this is not a song about me, you know, and I'm trying to find my story in it. And I realized this is a song about my dad. And then when I made that connection, I knew I had to put it out, and I knew I had to release it. And obviously, it took way more weight for me, right? Kind of like, I have to do this song. And it was still available, and they said, yeah, you can take this song. And I, you know, there's this, I often say this too, and I kind of secretly think that maybe my dad had something to do with it from the other side. Because, you know, I really think that that song changed the course of my future. It's, you know, I think it's what led me to my record deal with MDM Recordings. And you know, Mike Denny saw me perform that song at the CCMAs back in 2018.
I remember that.
And Mike said, you know, when I saw you perform that night, and I saw you sort of like take advantage of an opportunity, because I mean, we performed in the sort of the afternoon gala, so it's like or the industry award luncheon, right? So everybody's eating food, and you know, for the most part, most of those performances can kind of go to the wayside and kind of like be background noise almost, you know?
Right.
And I just said, if I'm going to make people stop and listen for those 3 minutes that I'm on that stage, how can I make it special? And so what we did is we hired a choir from Toronto, and they drove out to Hamilton for the awards. And they, partway through the song, they marched out on stage in their robes, and people were like, what is going on here? And nobody really knew who I was at that point in the country scene. And I think it really made an impact. And I think I still get word from people going, remember that performance you did and you brought the choir out? Like, I'm not even sure if it was me that made it so special, but that choir. But people could not deny this moment. And Mike said to me, you're a guy that thinks about taking advantage of him. I paid a lot of money to bring that choir in. So I was like, you know, I just saw this as a great moment not to squander. And so Mike saw my business savvy too there. So I think he liked the song, but he also saw a smart business guy. So I'm smart-ish when it comes
smart-ish.
To business.
So. No, yeah. It would mean a lot to him, because John and I, especially for me, I know him very well. And he really appreciates somebody who takes the initiative, because it's different today than it was when people were getting signed a couple decades ago. And, you know, they put out all the expenses. That doesn't happen anymore. And it's real. I don't know if fans know that too. It's very, very difficult for you to break into the scene, especially with the caliber of talent that Canada has. And you can have
like a tidal wave.
Oh yeah. Like you could have, you know, an amazing voice and be singing and working and working, you know, the bar scenes and just going from one gig to another. And like, you might not get seen. And it's just, those are those opportunities. And you played that one really smart. And yeah, and that was such a great song. So we're going to play that one right now. It's a very special song, and I'll tell you why when we come back from it. So let's play Church from Don Amaro, Canadian country artist, and we're so proud of him on Music's Journey.
Way out in the woods, nobody there, middle of nowhere. You might just see trees and weeds and dirt, but I call it church. It ain't nothing but a river, a little place I float on an old John boat. Might look like just a ride and reeling worms, but I call it church. It ain't no Sunday morning, it ain't no preacher preaching, but out here in the quiet, I can hear him speaking to me. Out where the wild things go, out on this country road, the sun, the stars, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I go to church. Some nights I sit out on the hood, my old truck, I look up, and I feel like I could see the whole wide world. Yeah, I stare at that full moon, I drink a beer and breathe in the air, and I thank him for the more than I deserve, and I go to church. It ain't no Sunday morning, it ain't no preacher preaching, but out here in the quiet, out where the wild things go, out on this country road, the sun, the stars, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I go to church. No people, no pews, no steeples, just blue skies. I'm praying with my eyes wide open. Wide open. Oh, it ain't no Sunday morning, it ain't no preacher preaching, but out here in the quiet, I can hear him. Ain't no Sunday morning, it ain't no preacher preaching, but out here in the quiet, I can hear him speaking. Out where the wild things go, out on this country road,
that song. He almost passed on it, and that one's for his dad, Don Amaro, and Church from the fall of 2017. Now let's get back to Music's Journey, the podcast with your host, Kim Sear.
We definitely did not want to miss that one. I know that one reminds me of my dad, and I lost my dad 9 years ago, and you know that song is such a special place for me, because that's what I hold on to today, especially going through what everybody's gone through. And I imagine a lot of people, I'm hoping, will rehear this song again. If they haven't heard it before, they'll hear it through the podcast. And it's going to remind everybody exactly what they went through, you know, and wanting to be outdoors, needing to be outdoors, but also doing it in a safe way. But what it does for you. It's not just to get out and socialize and, you know, do those things. It's just about breathing that fresh air and how it grounds us, being around nature, you know, having those, you know, fires, campfires, sitting around with family, whether or not you're just talking or singing, and you had music playing, you know, in safe groups, things like that. It just grounds you. And I know it does for me, just, you know, the smell of the campfire, just being outside. If I'm stressed, and no matter how many hours I've worked, I immediately, even if I'm driving all night and I'm up for 48 hours, it wouldn't matter as long as I'm out in nature. And I know John feels the same way. And it's just a healing tool. And, you know, that's my church. So
well, you know, what you're saying, I hear an overwhelming response to that song kind of in the same way, because I love that song, because I mean, it's got the title Church, right? But it's like, it's really not about, you know, I kind of bring it up in the bridge, and, you know, no preachers, no pews, it's not about the four walls. And it's a non-denominational song, you know. It's like, it's not talking about a particular race or religion or you know, your belief system. It's kind of like we all can connect with something greater than ourselves, and we're connecting with nature, you know. And I think that's what resonates with folks, because again, no matter what you really believe in, it's undeniable when you're out there in nature, just feeling like sort of this grander sense of who you are, of where your place in this universe, in a way, you know. And sometimes it can feel so small, but when you kind of, when you're out there in the middle of wherever and you take that breath, you kind of, it really, it's one of those things for me that I can't help but appreciate life all the more.
Mm-hmm. It's like nothing else matters, you know, like when you get out there, no matter what your troubles are, it's just an amazing coping skill. And I think that that's why I'm really hoping, you know, that people will hear this song again. If they haven't recalled it on their playlist, maybe they'll add it, because it's such a great song. And I think that it would be really good for people to be able to hear.
And if I can also add, I love your style. Your style of guitar playing on that is great. I love that.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah. So, like, there's some special songs. That's why we wanted to add those in there. So we are here to talk about the next chapter for you. And that means, you know, like, it's got to be such a big milestone in your career for this seventh album. And, you know, the seven songs that are on this one, as you said, you didn't write six of them, but pretty important. And you must have been able to reflect or, you know, re-examine your past and, you know, leading into the future, as we were talking about briefly in the beginning. And like you said, it kind of mapped the way, you know, since you've been signed on with MDM Records and Universal Music. And congratulations on that, by the way. Because that's hard work, really, really hard work. Seven albums, which is pretty incredible. So tell us about this album and how you look at it from your journey from the past to now.
Yeah, you know, it's so obviously the next chapter kind of implies something new and a new beginning in a way, right? And so there's, you know, for me, I kind of joked about this on Instagram a little while ago about how, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I went with the next chapter. You know, I'm 40 this year, so that's a kind of a big milestone.
Woohoo!
Yeah. that needs another applause, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I made it, yeah. You know, it's my first release with a record deal, so, you know, it kind of feels like not that I'm starting over in a way, but kind of like something fresh, and there's a lot more eyes and ears on this thing. You know, up until then, it was kind of like I was doing kind of whatever I wanted to do. And not that I'm not doing what I want to do now, but it's more like there's a lot more muscle behind what I'm doing now. You know, as you say, with, you know, the connection to MDM and you know, my managers. And I've got two managers. I've got Mike Denny and my Lori Brown, who's she's the director of Alberta Music, Alberta Country Music. And so she's been a powerful force for me in this world of music. And so that's kind of the big reasons why I went with the next chapter. And the other, again, like I said a few moments ago, was like the fact that I didn't write the majority of these, which, you know, all the other albums I've done up to now have been, you know, a good majority, at least 50% of the writing has been by me. And so, yeah, for me, I felt like this was really was the next chapter. And so far, I'm really enjoying this book I'm in.
I think that, you know, when people, it's just a new window, just another beginning, but it's just layers of our lives. And I think that when we talk about that next chapter, it's like you're saying, it's not you're starting over, it's just another layer, you know, of your life. And, you know, it's just an incredible journey that I'm really looking forward to seeing what this one does for you, because I know that it's such a great album. And again, it's out now and it's called The Next Chapter. And we're going to be talking about a couple of the songs that are on here, and they're pretty special. And I just wanted to go back to the beginning and who the influences were for you. And when did you get that bug to know that, you know, hey, I'm going to pursue this thing called songwriting and singing, and because you're a great musician. And
thank you, Jim.
Yeah, we wanted to be able to reflect back and see where that started for you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. So for me, I was, you know, I started playing and writing at 15 years old, and I kind of was I call it a closet songwriter. I didn't share that with anybody. I didn't share playing music or any of that stuff until I was kind of in my early 20s. And then I kind of just started playing at open mics and stuff like that, and kind of just dabbled with it for 5 or 6 years. And then it was Canadian Idol in 2006. I took the leap into that world, and got the golden ticket, went there, made it almost to the top 22. I was one cut away. And then I came out of that thinking, you know, I'm leaving the, I was devastated after they cut me, because I thought, man, I was definitely going to make the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. And I was just kind of devastated. And for a couple of months, I was kind of just depressed and blue. And my wife said to me one day, she said, "Are you really giving them that much power over you?" And when she said that, I was like, "Oh yeah, what am I doing?" You know? And so I kind of just said from there, I'm going to take the reins of my career. I'm not going to wait for another golden ticket. You know, I feel like this is my life. I'm going to make of it what I want. And,
mm-hmm.
And I went in and recorded my first album, Change Your Life, and, kind of took the leap. And my big thing from the beginning, and this is, maybe going to come full circle right away here. But, when I first started, and the reason why I went with the title Change Your Life is because my hope has always been that, you know, the stuff that I put out there, the music that I put out there, would help people change their life for the better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, for me, music has been medicine from the get-go. It, you know, it got me through some dark days in my younger life, and, even still does today sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thinking has often been like, I put this music out there in hopes that it's medicine for the listener too. And, the strange thing is, so I've wrestled over the course of the last couple of years going, should I go back? And, you know, that first album I recorded, it's pretty bad. Like, people who go know me and go back and they go, "Oh wow, you can tell that's where he started," because it's like, it really sounds like a guy figuring out how to record, how to do that stuff. But mm-hmm. then I started thinking, well, wait a second. If I take that music down, you know, I'm not ashamed of it, but I don't want somebody to go and find that and think, "Oh, that's Don Amaro now."
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of it is, I know some of those songs from early on in my career have been medicine for me and have been medicine for other people. And I felt like, well, wait a second, if I'm going to say I want to put this out there as medicine for people, but now I'm going to take it away from them, that just felt wrong to me. So I was like, you know what, this is the real journey, folks. This is really mm-hmm. how it goes.
Yep.
You know, and I feel like that young artist that's coming up, if they look to me and they're inspired by me in any way, I want them to be able to do the Don Amaro deep dive and go, oh, wait a second, his songs were not always, you know, produced by hit producers. His songs were self-done and you know, recorded in an attic with blankets and the cardboard boxes, and you know, I think that's important for the listener to also know that part of the journey, and so I let it all live out there, and I'm not ashamed of any of it, and I'm happy that it's there for people to kind of dive into.
I think it is every songwriter's and musician's journey, and I know that everybody, you know, takes a hold of, you know, the new person coming up on stage and, you know, that song takes off, but they don't see back to what that person had to go through just for you guys to go on a radio tour and for you to have done just, you know, to produce an EP of your own, say, you know, three songs that you're coming out with a debut, just to see whether or not you can get any attention. And, you know, you're trying to do the representation to go into the radio stations. It's a lot of money. And
yep.
you're producing that yourself, you're covering that, and people don't realize the amount of the dollar tag behind that. And just to do it once, and then you got to rebuild, do shows, just to make ends meet. You know, most people are staying at friends' houses, sleeping on the couches, and anywhere they can find a place to stay. And it's a hard, long journey. And when you do get there, that's what I said to you, even though, you know, you're talking about your other albums there, that just shows your growth, and that just shows, you know, that you really worked hard to be where you are today. Mm. It doesn't, you know, when you look at it the other way and you're looking at it in a negative way, I think you've said it in your new song that you just released right now. And, you know, that one is the one that we're going to be talking about and playing. But I think everything you just said there is just having faith in yourself. And being able to see yourself and that you do and will find what you're looking for. Just have faith and just keep pushing and it'll come to you. Just never, ever lose that dream. And that's the one that you just released.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is that when, you know, you said this a few moments ago, that, you know, there's those artists that are, you know, incredible voices and incredible talent, and yet they kind of stay in their towns and get stuck in the bar circuit and kind of don't ever go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I would never want to throw anybody under the bus and thinking maybe they didn't have vision. But I know for me, my success from the get-go is because I think I've had a grander vision. It's not just about, wanting to be an artist that gets on stage and wows people with a voice and a, you know, and trying to be just a great talent, but kind of like, where do I want to take people and what's the takeaway for them is really kind of what I ask myself. And, you know, from the get go, you know, back in 2007, when I took the leap into this full time, I said I wanted to write music that would encourage and inspire the listener to do good things for themselves and the world around them. And that hasn't changed since the beginning. I still to this day hope when I get on stage that I can come up there and, you know, again, share music medicine with folks. And you know, my goal always, whether you hear my song on the radio or whether you hear me play live, is that, you know, the world doesn't feel quite as heavy after a Don Amaro concert. You know, that's my hope.
And I think that's why people resonate so well with you, because I think when you look back at your body of work, like look at 2006, you were garnered 5 Aboriginal People's Choice Award nominations. You know, like you've got to give yourself that credit, because songwriter and folk artist, CD, album cover, producer, engineer, like you wear all the hats and they recognized it, right? You've did a phenomenal job, and it's just a stepping stone. And I think that, you know, people just have to realize it just doesn't come because you think you're good. It comes out of hard work and being able to sit back and reflect and, you know, be able to peel back that layer and go, you know what? I really like this song. It's a big difference from, you know, when I first started. You start to discover who you are. We all reinvent each other, whether, you know, it's songwriting, musicians, or any other job out there, especially this year. We've all had to reinvent, find a new way. Yeah. And I think that when we peel all the layers back, and I think that's what's happened this year, you know, it just takes people back to what really matters. And that's family. That is all the things around us. I think that so many songwriters have been able to, you know, they're so busy having to produce. Then you go on the radio tour, then the releases, and then you're back in studio again and writing. Now you can sit back and take that time and say, hey, you know, do I really want to do that song? I probably would have done that song, but you know what? This one really feels good because you've got time, which you guys normally don't have. And, you know, to be able to
time in spades this year.
Yeah. But look how much you've released. Right? Yeah, morning, you know, coffee. you've been a busy guy when it comes to the radio.
Yeah. Wouldn't be home, wasn't the dress, music lover. Yeah, four singles in the last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, as you're speaking to, there's a couple things come to mind for me. Sort of, I've always said this is like, you know, I think I quite literally believe this. If you want to make it into the Hall of Fame in the music, you know, the Canadian music scene, or maybe anywhere in the world, just persevere, hang on, keep going, keep pressing forward, you know, like I refuse to give up. That's kind of like this mentality of mine. On top of that, it's layered with, you know, mantras like nobody owes me anything, because then you kind of like everything is a gift.
That's
when
right.
You see everything as a, I literally just this morning had a talk with my daughter. She's 5 years old, and she was kind of having this bad attitude this morning. And I kind of just, I said, do you need a hug? And she said, yeah. We had a snuggle and we had this talk, and I said, you know, the thing that we need to remember is all the blessings we have in our lives and all the good things. And, you know, sometimes the world's going to be tough and we're going to go through things, but don't forget there's all this good stuff. And if you just pause for a moment and see that, I think then that heavy stuff doesn't feel so heavy. And I can see her face kind of like changing, and she's kind of getting lighter. She's like, oh yeah, right. I've got this and I've got that. And it's just so cool. And I think so many times as people, not even just in the music world, but I think it's, we wake up and we go, what does the world owe me today? And I think when you do that, that is a hard slog in any career, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've always thought, what can I do for others today? And I think that changes your attitude in terms of like how you're going to take on your day. And for the most part, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. And I think it's because of that attitude.
I think that, you know, for me, my mom and my dad, like my dad had been adopted. He didn't find out until I was in my 20s, and I'm the youngest out of 5. And it really changed, you know, his life and how he thought about life. And he always gave back to everybody. And he had 5 of our own, which they could hardly put the food on the table then. And then he fostered 40 babies and really, really wanted to help. He was the one that would take teens if they had problems. He would, you know, they, for whatever reason, would gravitate right to our house. And we had teens that had lived with us that he tried to help. And I think that's where I got it from. And I did a lot of work in group homes and that kind of thing. And, you know, that's where my whole journey went. And they just kept saying, if you live in the moment, and we hear that from our grandparents all the time. And I know as a kid, it used to drive me crazy. But as you become an adult, you remember, if you live in the moment and you can find the, you know, no matter what's happened, if you look for the good in that day, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Because there's a silver lining no matter how bad that day's been. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've had a really bad day, the next day you can say, hey, I got through that night. That's the silver lining, you know, each day. And, you know, I know that we're talking about so many people that have addictions that are coming out, you know, that they have hurdles that they've gone through in their life. And, you know, mental illness to so many other things that are coming out. And I'm really proud of artists that are coming out and talking about it, their own personal vices and journeys and struggles that they may still have, because fans relate to that. That's why your lyrics mean so much, your songs mean so much, because they want to know that you're speaking right to them and they connect to you. What does that mean to you to have your music to connect to the fans that much? And, you know, for your songs to have done that for somebody, because that's everything.
You know, it's really another interesting thought for me, you know, as you're speaking about that, because I feel like, you know, when artists and you know, I mean, celebrities in general, maybe sort of like they bring out that real side and the real struggle. Mm-hmm. There's something that I think the general population kind of looks at that artist and they get an affinity for them. And because it levels the playing field, it's like, you know, so often we're handed these, you know, picture perfect images and life is so perfect once you've made it. And it's like, it's no, it's not. Like, you know, no matter what level you're at any walk of life, you know, we all got struggles. And I think when a person's, I mean, I speak for me, I can only speak for me, but when I see somebody I look up to, you know, also say, hey, by the way, this hasn't been a cakewalk. I've struggled all the way through this thing and I'm still struggling today with things. It makes me go, oh, wait, you know, we all struggle. And, and you know, just because that person has $1 million doesn't mean that they have no more problems, right? In fact, they probably have more, you know?
And that's true.
And for me, I keep thinking, like, you know, if what I can do is just be real with my audience through social media platforms and through any connections that I have, and again, being a performer on stage, I always want to feel like I'm lifting the veil for people, you know, and in a filtered world, you know, I love filters, by the way, but in a filtered world, I feel like it's so, it's such a beautiful thing when an artist or you know, even just people in your life, when you're connecting with them and you can just be real and talk about the real stuff. And I think that's really what I love when my fans and people have really connected with my music, really do that sort of, it does that work for them as an individual. I think that's my hope with music, is that it's, you know, once I put a song out there, it's not mine anymore. It's yours. If your ears are on it, it belongs to you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I love that.
I think every one of us can say, like, that's the whole meaning behind this show, is to be able to be real and to be able to pull back behind the lyrics and to be able to make it resonate even more, you know, with the fans, because there's a reason for everything. And, you know, when you're going through something and you've picked that song, there's a reason why you picked that song. And I know that there's other artists out there that management picks it, hey, listen to this. But if you've got your hand and your finger on the pulse of your own career, you know, you're not going to be just picking anything. I think this album is the one that I'm talking about, because the very first song we're going to play right now, you just talked about pretty much in full. So let's play it for everybody right now. Wouldn't Be Home, and that's the whole point behind this brand new song that you released, and it's just an amazing song off this album, one of the seven songs that you chose for the next chapter. Wouldn't Be Home by Donna Merrill.
If it didn't make you think of your mama's kitchen, the front porch sound of them crickets creaking, where the summers went past and came back slow. If it don't take you back to the night when you picked her up in that hand-me-down car that was barely running, first time that she didn't tell you no. It wouldn't be home if it didn't make you miss the way it used to be. If it wasn't full of people that I hardly knew, if it didn't have a story down every road, trust me, I know. It wouldn't be home if it didn't make you think about some old flame. If she ever got around to a new last name, makes you wonder what might have could have turned out different. It wouldn't be home if it didn't take you back to the last game that you played it. The burn on the bourbon first time you tasted. The little white church that your family prayed in, and they still go. It wouldn't be home if it didn't make you miss the way it used to be. If it wasn't full of people that are hard to leave. If it didn't have a
Wouldn't be home if it didn't make you miss the way it used to be. If it wasn't full of people that are hard to leave. If it didn't have a story down every road. It wouldn't be home if it didn't make you wanna go back inside that house when your granddad was still alive. Makes you proud of the accent where you get it. It wouldn't be home if it didn't. You know. It wouldn't be home if it didn't. It wouldn't be home if it didn't. Yeah.
From the EP, The Next Chapter, that is Don Amaro, and Wouldn't Be Home. And looking back at his earlier work, being a closet songwriter, there's no doubt those songs would be dark. Back to the Music's Journey podcast. Once again, here is your host, Kim Sear.
I'm also a good dad joke.
Yeah, it's a dad's joke.
I recently made the joke that I'm a card-carrying member of the Dad Joke Club.
Awesome. Oh, there you go.
and the card is a membership to the Children's Museum. That's what the card is.
How does a joke become a dad's joke?
It's got to be bad.
No, it has to be apparent.
Oh, go away.
Ba-doop-a.
Go away.
There it is. There's a drum track in there.
Mm-hmm. Should be, yes.
Yep. Let's talk about that song because it's such an important song where, you know, people around the globe can really reflect to this one and what's really important in life. And that's what we were just talking about. And that's home, family during these hard times. Talk to us about this one.
So the line that really stole my heart on this one was in the bridge when I say, I'm forgetting my own lyrics, but it's the idea of like every road that you're going down always leads back to home. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, man, how truthful is that? Like even I'm thinking of that, you know, 18-year-old kid that can't wait to get out of the house and then they just want to leave and move out and be out of the home and not with their parents anymore. 3 or 4 years are going to pass, maybe 3 or 4 months, maybe even less. Right. But, and then all of a sudden you're going to long for home and you're going to want that, those comforts, and you're going to want those people. And I think that, you know, I love that line. And the other part of that song that really, you know, resonated with me was the fact that it was like, here we are, midst the pandemic month, I don't know, 9, 10, I don't know where we are now, but like, we're all home, you know, we're all here. And it's like, you know, I think we all can't wait to leave in some ways, but at the same time, we know we're going to be longing for family time at Christmas. We're going to be longing for, you know, being with folks, you know, any time of the year, you know, Thanksgiving time. And there's a lot of things we're missing right now in that sort of the bigger family connection. And I think a song like that is just one that I knew right away was so timely for where we're at now. We kind of rushed that one because we felt like there was no better time to put a song out like that than right now. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of folks really, again, did appreciate that because, I mean, it's a song that, you know, you didn't have to be released in the midst of a pandemic because it's all about nostalgia. It's all about sort of the good old days and all those good memories being made as you were growing up. And for me, you know, there's so much connection to that song. You know, I just loved it. And I felt like a lot of people were going to dig that too. So yeah, glad it's out there.
I am too, because I think when you look at life and you see everybody that was so on edge to be able to get out and see their friends and, you know, to do those outdoor patios and stuff. And I think it was just really hard for a lot of people that were losing somebody to this pandemic and everything that was going on in the nursing homes. And, you know, we take life for granted and, you know, we need our grandparents when we need them and that kind of thing is what I hear so much from young kids. And it's like, yes, you know, the holidays mean so much and we can't see each other. Now they're starting to say, well, wait a second, I can't see grandma and grandpa, or I can't, you know, we can't go visit for Thanksgiving and the holidays. But peel it back, and that's what I'm hoping everybody really gets from this, because why can't you and why didn't you see your grandparents who had so much love for you and, you know, so much care, you know, for your parents? And we kind of forget what's really important and, you know, what they need too. And this, I'm hoping, reminds everybody, you know what, they need love Everybody needs it. It's just you got to take the time in life to be able to see it and not wait until something's happened and then reflect back and say, I didn't go see them often enough, or I didn't even, you know, didn't even go to see what they were feeling or needing in that last year when I only saw them once. You know, I'm hoping that everybody starts to really think about that and really start caring about people over the holidays. And, you know, whether you Skype more, I don't care. Call mom, call dad, call your grandparents. You know, everybody needs to be able to show some love.
Well, you know, I think it's one of the things that I think we sometimes forget. And I think in the race of all the things we're chasing in life, I think the thing that at the end of the day that we all want is connection, you know, and I think that, you know, if you can kind of keep that in mind, no matter what you're doing, that connection. I mean, I one of the things that we've often talked about for the brand of Don Amaro is connection and community. And, you know, one of the things that I really cherish is the community around me of, you know, my family, my friends. And it still feels weird to say fans. It's funny. I've been doing this for 14 years, and I know I've got fans, but it feels like it's deeper than that. Mm-hmm. Fan feels like there's somebody at arm's length away, whereas I feel like, you know, the people that have been supporting me have really kind of, in some ways, become part of my music family, because I can't do this without any of that support, you know? And I think that the fact that I've done this for 14 years is a testament to the people that are supporting me and a testament to the team I have around me. And, you know, I'm willing to put in the work, but without them, I shouldn't say it doesn't mean anything, but without them, I can't be doing what I'm doing today.
Well, I think music's such an important part of your soul. And I know that you either love to write and you love music, and it's not, you know, whether or not you're recognized, it's, you know, what does it do for somebody? And that's all you can hope for. You know, is that people connect to that song and that it helps somebody, you know, as much as it means to you. They're your babies. I know a lot of them are. And you chose them for a reason, right? And you're hoping.
I like some of those babies more than others, but yeah.
Which baby do you like the most? Which baby out of all the babies? What I was going to say to you is, I know that you just got me on this one now. So many writers say, you know, especially writers, songwriters, they'll say that, you know what, they wrote songs they didn't want to give the light of day to. And it's because that's been their, you know, their coping skill or needed to just get out. Do you have one of those?
I've got a basket full of tunes back at home that will, you know, I pray to the Lord they never see the light of day, for sure. But I mean, I think everything that I've released, I think I really put a lot of intention behind it to know at least well enough that I'm going to have to live with these for my life, that I, you know, and beyond. I'm pretty proud of all of them. And, you know, again, if I could go back and rewrite some of them, I might kind of tweak things a bit. But in terms of the whole catalog, there's nothing I look back and go, I wish that wasn't out there, apart from, you know, not lyrically, but just kind of like stylistically.
I think more to what I was trying to say is, like, I know that songwriters can sit there and write a song that just comes to you just from something that's so deep inside of you, not something you've written that's bad, you know, something that, you know, you've wrote to that you mean so much to you. You know, that it's so raw, so personal.
Yes, I see. Yeah.
And that you're hoping it doesn't see the light of day because it was something that was a therapy for you in that moment that was so difficult.
Of course, yeah.
or a challenge. Like, do you have one of those?
Yeah, I probably got a plethora of some of those that sort of reside on my laptops somewhere here and there. I've got a couple of laptops with tunes on them here and there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tend to write a lot of from that broken, hard place sometimes in my life because, you know, if I'm writing songs with the intention of it being medicine, well, the medicine's out there to heal something. So the songs tend to be about the scars and the bruises and
that's
the
right.
hurts, right? So, so I've got a lot of songs like that. But, you know, again, in the genre that I'm working in these days, you know, the country scene, I grew up in the folk and roots scene, which is kind of like any and everything, whereas the country community is kind of like, you know, I want a song that's going to make me feel good, not going to remind me of all my pain, you know? Not always. Yeah. You know, I think there's some songs that kind of can bring you back, remember that pain, and how do we move forward, right? I think that some good country songs can do that too. But I think generally speaking, you know, the country community wants to hear a song that makes you want to tap your toes and dance, and I think that's cool. However, you know, like so I've been married now for 16 years, but it has not been always a beautiful ride. It's been a tough journey at times. And so oftentimes my method through getting some of those hard times has been to write songs. And so those songs, I don't think will ever see the light of day. I think they're for me and, you know, a bit of a journal for me that I can go back and go, oh, I remember it was that hard in that season of my life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that that's, so, again, you know, a big part of learning, you know, being able to, like we talk about artists that all have to reinvent, you know, writing a song about love or reinventing about heartache and, you know, reinventing about joy. It's easier to write the ones that are upbeat and toe-tapping and catchy and, you know, summer songs and, you know, that kind of stuff that, you know, just make people feel good. But you always know when there's one that just hits you and those goosebumps, and those are those raw songs and, you know, remind you of what life's about. And that's where we, in life, in our own journeys, every single one of us can remember when a certain song came out exactly where we were. I can remember exactly what I was wearing, exactly where I was standing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's because it was raw and it just, it resonated with me. And I think a lot of the songs that you got on this album are going to do that for you. And Wasn't the Dress is such an important song too. And I think, you know, it's, you've just done a great pick with this album, really, really great pick with this album.
So let's
play this one right now. We'll come back and talk about it. So this is off The Next Chapter, which is out right now by Donna Merrow, and it Wasn't the Dress.
Sitting at dinner, she smiled, took a sip of wine, said, do you remember when you saw me for the first time? I said, your heels were red, you were wearing black, your hair was curled and half pulled back. And if you want to know the song that came on, I could sing you every line. But it wasn't the dress, no, it wasn't those shoes, wasn't the song we were listening to. It was the way you were shaking, the way you were taking my breath away with every move. Wasn't your hair done up just right? Yeah, only one thing caught my eye. All the rest I could forget. To tell you the truth, it wasn't the dress, baby, it was you. There was something about you that I just can't explain. Now looking at you, yeah, I still feel that way. Cause girl, you still got it, no doubt about it. Lord knows I could never live without it. And if you ask me tomorrow about tonight, I'll tell you the same. That it wasn't the dress, no, it wasn't those shoes, wasn't the song we were listening to. It was the way you were shaking, the way you were taking my breath away with every move. Wasn't your hair done up just right? Yeah, only one thing caught my eye. All the rest I could forget. To tell you the truth, it wasn't the dress, baby, it was you. Baby, it was you. So what do you say we ended the way we did on that first night? You and me in that backseat with your lips on mine. Cause when you take off your dress and kick off your shoes, I put on a song we love listening to. You still get me shaking and you're still taking my breath away with every move. It isn't your hair done up just right. Baby, go on, let it fall tonight. All of the rest I can forget. Strip it on down and love what's left. Tell you the truth, it isn't the dress now, baby, yeah.
On the Music's Journey podcast, that is Don Amaro and Wasn't the Dress. Now let's get back to the podcast with your host, Kim Sear, and live from his truck, Don Amaro.
Now this is one, this is,
yeah, my office, I say, these days.
This is one of those toe-tapping songs and that classic toe-tapping country song that we love. And, you know, you have one of everything on here, which is great, but this one also has a great message. And so let's talk about that.
Well, it's funny, you know, when you say like the sort of the classic toe-tapping country song, when I was putting this EP together, me and Mike did a radio tour last year to kind of share with radio folks kind of the journey we're about to unfold. And Wasn't the Dress as one of the songs. So we showed them Music Lover, we showed them Morning Coffee, and we showed them Wasn't the Dress. So we said, Morning Coffee, we knew was going to be like that slow jam. Mm-hmm. You know, we were going to kind of like, we called it the appetizer. And then we said Music Lover as well was one that we felt like was going to a really different kind of tune.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, but here's the stake. We knew that Wasn't the Dress was the stake that the country audience was going to love.
Yeah.
Because we just knew, you know, we can hear it in the song going, kind of going, this was really the kind of jam that we know radio could get behind. And so we knew it early on that this was, we've been sitting on it for quite a while. And I love that song so much because really what it says to me is it's not about what you put on or what you wear that makes you beautiful, but you know, you're beautiful because of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my really beautiful story was, again, back to my daughter. I've got two boys too. I've got a son named Oscar and a little boy named Elliot, but most of the time they're just driving me mad. So I'll leave them out for now. But my daughter, Stella, I love it because she's like this strong, independent little lady. And she came home one day and she had these earrings on and a friend of hers just, they were clip-ons or something. And she says, aren't I beautiful, Papa? Mm. And I said, oh, those are beautiful earrings, my girl. I said, but you were beautiful before you put those earrings on. And
oh,
I just watched her face.
Such a good
her,
dad.
Yeah, her eyes lit up and she's like, oh. She's like, oh, yeah. And I just, that moment for me was so special as a dad to be able to share that with her and have it make an impact. And so oftentimes now, one of the things I say to her is like, she'll put a pretty dress and she'll she's like, isn't this beautiful? And I'll say, oh, that's a beautiful dress. But you know, you don't need the dress to be beautiful, right?
God
and
love you.
And I just, yeah, I love that, like being able to give that to her and that, you know, that not, those things don't validate you. You're already beautiful and mm-hmm. you know, you're a smart young lady and you're, you know, you're there's. It's not even about the physical, right? And just kind of preaching that to her. And
how old is
and
she?
And I think she's five.
Five.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great mm-hmm. lesson for her now, especially, you know, embarking on school and mm-hmm. everything that's put on them going through school, because that's real love. And if you instill that with her now, you know, she's going to have that confidence, you know, when she's meeting those rough times, because it's hard for people, you know, when it comes to self-image and everything else, but you're talking about what's inside of you and being recognized for that. And I think that, you know, girls, it doesn't matter what age you are, whether or not it's, you know, somebody that's my age or somebody that's, you know, really young and going through, you know, just the beginning parts of life, you got to remember that, because when we don't value ourselves and remember that it's a lot, see, I'm going to go right back to your other song that we haven't talked about yet. Such a good album, I'm telling you.
Oh, thanks.
It's such a good album. But when we talk about all of this as we go through them, you're going to see that it's just valuing yourself, not giving it away, remembering who you are and what you're looking for, and it's worth waiting for.
For all my kids, one of the things that I really hope that we instill in them is that they can set their anchor in their lives of who they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just have a really strong sense of that. And so no matter what goes on out in the world, that, you know, in the quietness of their mind, that they can close their eyes at the end of the day and just feel, A, love for themselves, and B, just a sense of purpose, you know, if they have that, then as a parent, I will feel like I've succeeded. You know, I don't care about where they are status-wise. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what job they have. For me, it's more just like, I just want you to love yourself
mm-hmm.
and love the world you're in and find ways to, you know, again, with that attitude of service. I think that's really what I hope I can give to my kids in the time that I get to spend with them.
With kids, it's just, you know, we want to be able to be the best parents we can, and then we got to let them go, and then we got to say, oh, did we do a good enough job? But, you know, you're giving her some great messages in the songs that you're choosing. So that was such a great song.
Well, I think more than anything, you know, the me telling them is one thing, but me doing is the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, if they can see it in me, like you said, like they'll bear witness to the life I'm living. And, you know, they'll call me on things quite often when I'm not sort of measuring up.
That's good, though.
They'll see that in me, hopefully. Like, just the other day, I put this Instagram post out when I said, you know, for my children, I take care of my physical and mental well-being, hoping that you'll do the same. And I chase my dreams and hoping that you will do the same, and that when you fail, that it's not a loss but a learning that teaches you until you succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as a dad, that's my whole thing, is that they're my sun, moon, and stars and everything in between.
absolute. And I think that's a pretty great attitude to have, and I'm really hoping that your boys, you know, see the great example that they've got too. I know that, you know, boys can be so different, can't they? Then when it comes to our little girls, and
well, it's so, you know, funny, like they are a ball of energy from the sun up to sundown. And Stella has a little more like chill factor.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty get going too. She wants to adventure all the time, but I think I think those boys, like, they're wired just differently, you know. And I think
they do settle down in time. They do.
Yeah, well, I've always known that, but seeing it now as a father, you're just like, oh man, you guys are. Who needs a cup of coffee when you're around?
Hell on wheels. They're hell on wheels.
They're fun dudes, but sometimes, man, I just want to chill out too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that one you could take back, and you know what? There's nothing you can do about it. So, yeah. You know, you just have to kind of go with the ride and be there, you know, as their father and just kind of guide them the best you can. So that's the main thing. So when it comes to this EP and all the seven songs that are on this EP, is there a favorite for you?
Well, I'm, you know, it sounds funny that I'm going to say this, but, you know, the last tune, On Down the Road, I wrote that about, I want to say 8 or 9 years ago with a Craig Monday down in Nashville. And funny enough, like, I liked that song when we wrote it. But it didn't really pull up my heartstrings at that time. And about 2 or 3 years after we wrote it, I was in the studio with my buddy Murray Pulver, and I was trying to figure out what songs to record for my album Refined 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Murray, we were looking at, you know, going through these sheets of music, and he said, oh, what's this one? And I showed him On Down the Road. And what Murray did to that song, we didn't change anything lyrically, but it was just more like the stylistic, the way he plays the song. And Murray's if you don't know Murray, he's a monster guitar player.
He is so good. Yeah,
he's a heck of a producer. He was, you know, kind of the, one of the first guys in Doc Walker, you know, with Dave and Chris, and kind of getting them off the ground all those years ago. And he just really massaged the song into what it is today. And I love that song ever since, because again, it talks about perseverance. It talks about, even though today might be a bad day, you've got to push through it. And when I wrote that song, I kind of went with the intentions of actually thinking of, you know, my indigenous community. I'm a Cree and Métis roots guy. And I thought about, you know, all people of all walks of life. And particularly when I was thinking about the indigenous community, thinking, we've been through it, you know, we've been through some stuff. And
absolutely.
And so I felt like, what's the message I would want to give to somebody who's kind of like feeling, you know, at the, you know, for lack of a better term, end of their rope, and feeling like, I don't know what to do anymore. And I just wanted to say, like, just keep going. Don't give up. Keep pressing forward, you know, fight the good fight, and just keep going. Because around the next corner, around the next bend, everything can change for the better. And I just think you got to not give up that hope that things could change for the better. And that's what that song's about. And, you know, it's still my favorite song to play. It's still my favorite song to sing. And I think that one's going to be hopefully, you know, part of the legacy of Don Amaro long after I'm gone.
I think so. I think this is one that I really resonated to. And you kept hearing me throughout the whole interview referring back to that song. And, you know, that's the one that you wrote. And it has got such a powerful message. So let's play that one right now. So here is On Down the Road from Don Amaro's brand new EP, The Next Chapter on Music's Journey.
You're standing alone, just you on this road. The bag on your back is all that you own. I've kicked those stones, and I've sang the blues, and I've walked those painted lines too. On down the road, on down the road. Just keep on moving, yeah. We're on down the road. There's a warm embrace, and you'll find your place. Rest your heavy load. Sometimes you feel you just don't belong. Just do what you're doing, just keep on moving on down the road.
On Down the Road, on the Music's Journey podcast, and we'll see how far Don Amaro has gone down the road while he's chatting with us. Once again, let's get back to the interview. Once again, here's your host, Kim Sear.
You're going to be so sorry that you said that you're on that book of dad's jokes, right? Because you're getting them every time he gets back on the mic.
That's all good. No, it's all good. I'm a proud father and a proud father of many dad jokes.
Oh, well, uh-oh. Go ahead. No. See, I gotta cut the mic off. Quit. Okay.
Oh, he's been muted. Okay.
Yeah, I shut the mic off.
Over here.
This new single that you just released, it was also featured on Canadian Country Music Awards, which was an incredible show on Global this year. What a special award show for that one to be played on. How did that make you feel?
Oh man, like, so, I mean, that's an interesting thing because, so by the way, that song On Down the Road, I think there's like two or three versions of that one out there now. And I think that, you know, we sort of did a shortened version of that song. So what you hear on the EP is actually the shorter version of On Down the Road. So if you wanted to kind of go take the deeper dive back on the album, Refined is the long version of that song, but it's stylistically even a little bit different. So, that's the thing about music is, you know, you can kind of play it several ways, you know, with, depending on, you got the full band or the, you know, trio or just solo. So about 3.5 years ago, I walked into the CCMA offices and I got to meet the folks there and kind of just, you know, kind of doing the due diligence of meeting the folks in the Canadian country music scene, and, went in to see them, brought my guitar and had a coffee with them. And they said, "Okay, let's hear a song." And the first song I played for them was On Down the Road. And they all looked at me after. I was like, "That is such a great song." And Tracy, down there, she's the executive director, and she said that I don't even know what to say. That song is so beautiful, and she's, you know, she's always been smitten with that song. And so, I was gunning for the In Memoriam spot at the gala last year, I think it was in Hamilton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hamilton or Calgary? I can't remember which. I'm lost in my mind right now where it was, but. And I was gunning for that spot. Was it Saskatchewan? Anyways, I'm totally lost. It was somewhere.
It was somewhere.
And I said to Tracy, she said, you know, we'd love to have you perform at our gala dinner. And I said, I would love that. And I said, kind of the same thing as the year before, you know, the year before we did the church with the choir. And I said, you know, I really want to create a moment here. And I said, you know, Tracy, I would love the honor to sing the In Memoriam spot. For a number of different reasons. One, I'm a guy, you know, with if music is medicine, how can I offer to people in for healing? There's no other moment in the night of the Gala Awards than that moment of In Memoriam, because we're all looking at our friends up there saying goodbye, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew hearts are open, people are soft, people are listening, they're not eating anymore. And I just saw it as a moment. So I strategically asked for that time. And so I got to play On Down the Road there. And got a standing ovation. It was an incredible moment.
Mm.
And so when Tracy asked me to perform at the CCMAs this year, she said, "Look, you know what song I'm going to ask you for, but you know, you it's your choice." You know, she didn't tell us what to play, but we all talked as a team after and saying, "You look, if this is the song they want, let's give them what they're asking for. Like, why try to push something that is, you know, our agenda? Let's give Tracy the song she's asking for in the CCMAs." And so again, she said, "Do what you want," but she just loves that song so much. And again, we just felt like here's a special moment on an awards show where, you know, you got Dallas Smith, you got Brett Kissel, you got Meg Patrick, you got, you know, all these, you know, Jess Moskaluk, crazy country stars in Canada, and then there's me. Not that I'm saying I don't fit in, but I know, you know, in terms of where my star sits in that whole world of those people and people I'm great fans of too. And I think a lot of people were watching that awards show going, "Oh, who's this guy?" And I think it really was something that, again, another moment to set apart from the rest of them, and and just sort of giving me that sort of that 90 seconds of my own time to kind of shine. And I think that song was the one that could do it. And it really has. It's opened up a whole door, a couple of doors already just, you know, in the last 6 weeks since we did the awards show. And I'm just so grateful for the CCMAs for believing in me and what I'm doing and, you know, being part of my journey for the last couple of years.
Well, I think they made a very smart choice, and so did MDM when they signed you. And, you know, I want to remind everybody, and I'm going to remind you, how many albums have generated national and international awards for you? And, you know, as a storyteller, that's a pretty amazing thing. And, you know, so when you got up on that stage, they knew what they were doing. So, you know, you as a storyteller have connected, you know, so personally, you know, with your stories and your lyrics. What has life meant to you now in comparison to when you first started out when it comes to that, you know, that connection to the lyrics?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So, like, I spent the first, I want to say 10, maybe a little bit more years of just not sure if this is what I'm going to do forever. I wanted to, but it was sort of like, you know, every month I would say I had a white flag moment where I was like, ah, maybe I should call it quits. You know, I can't keep, there's not a lot of structure in the music world. You know, it's hard to kind of know month to month kind of exactly what you're doing, where you're going. Even, you know, now more than ever, right, in the midst of this pandemic, it's kind of like, who knows what 3 months from now looks like, never mind, you know, or even next month, right? And so, but in the last 3 or 4 years, I've really felt the support of, again, the team around me. I've felt the incredible support of my fan base, who's kind of really just said, you know, I mean, for lack of a better way of saying this, the fan base is like, saying, you know, by playing your music, by coming to your shows, what they say is, we're going to hold you up. We're going to, you're on our shoulders, buddy. We got you. And I think that support has felt so overwhelmingly supportive, that I really feel like I'm going to do this forever, you know? And I feel like I got something to say, and I'm grateful that people kind of, you know, still listen and I do feel like, you know, despite where I'm at in 7 albums deep, that I've got a lot left in me, and there's a lot to be said, and a lot of moments to share with the people out there that are willing to listen. And I'm just excited about the next 20, 30 years of doing this. And I'm just so glad that people are willing to kind of keep holding me up to do it. I'm in it for the long haul now.
I think if you let life carry you, and you're true to yourself, those words are always going to be there. And I think that's what we count on. And when it comes to being realistic and raw, and if you hold on to that, nobody's ever going to get tired of not hearing what Don Amaro has to say, you know, when it comes to his singing and his songwriting. And I think that's what's so important. And you did that, again, everything you describe is that very last song, you know, that you wrote, and that's On Down the Road, because you got to be able to say, let life carry me, let me go through those journeys, not be afraid to go through them, and you know, believe enough in myself that, you know what, I just have to stop and feel it. And I think that's the biggest fear everybody has, is that, you know, they might be afraid of something or have, you know, fears of life is just so fast paced, and we just don't take the time to slow down and remember and walk through that going, oh man, you know, I know that sometimes when I'm doing interviews, I forget, you know, I don't remember talking about that. And I know I tend to pull things, you know, out of people. It's just, you know, I'm good for that stuff, but I guess I just listen. And, you know, sometimes we just don't listen to ourselves. And I think that's one thing you've done very well. You listen to what you wanted to be. And this is a new chapter. Like you said, the next chapter of your life. So you just began this layer. And we're really darn happy about that. So we're going to remind everybody once again that this is such a special album. We got Christmas around the corner. What a great Christmas stocking stuffer. And, you know, it's available now, and it's such a great album to download, to purchase, to stream, to share, and get it out there, because this album's really worth it. And that's called The Next Chapter, and that's by Don Amaro.
A great idea too. They can bundle it with his Christmas CD, Amaro Little Christmas.
Yeah,
I do have one of those too. You guys get that, by the way, speaking of dad jokes?
Yeah, because I've got
Amaro Little Christmas.
Well, you got a few, because I wanted to talk about that next. And, you know, it was really, really important, because with Christmas coming up, you have some great songs, you know, great Christmas songs that people can look at, you know, in your career. And that's Don't Let Christmas Pass You By, and Amaro Little Christmas, and I Believe in Santa Claus. There's quite a few of them that you've had. So do you have one coming out? A new one for this year?
I literally just this morning, where I was thinking, oh, wait a second. Yeah, Christmas is around the corner. Last year, I released privately to new newsletter followers. Mary, Did You Know? Mm. That's been a favorite of mine for a long time. I just think vocally, it's a pretty incredible song. And so I might put that one out and just kind of share it publicly this time, because I really wanted to kind of give it away. So what I did is I have my annual show called The Merry Little Christmas, and to the audience I said, look, pull out your phone right now, go to donnamero.ca, and you will be given this song right now. And so it's kind of cool seeing watching you know, 1,000 people in the theater kind of all going to their phones, and you can see their faces light up because their phone's lighting their face up. And it's just kind of a cool moment in the concert to kind of be able to give them a gift in the middle of a show.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of cool.
That's...
But so we might put out Mary, Did You Know this year. So I'm still figuring that out. But I'm hoping that we can kind of put that out there this year for sure.
Oh, I hope so. Because we are kind of looking forward to that. We're doing a very big Christmas special. And so maybe we'll be putting that one on there. And
nice.
Yeah, so we've got that one coming up. We're going to be producing that one in the next 3 weeks. So we've got some great new Christmas songs. And so just reminding everybody with Christmas and the stocking stuffers and the next chapter, as I said, you can purchase, download, go to all your streaming services, and really, really celebrate this new album, The Next Chapter, with Donna Merrow. And let's play a little Christmas song. And we can do that right now. So this is going to be a nice little surprise for everybody. So I know it's not November 11th yet for Remembrance Day, but I think we all could use a little bit of Christmas cheer coming up, don't you think? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's play Mary, Did You Know by Donna Merrow.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know?
a beautiful version of that song, Mary, Did You Know, from Don Amaro. Now, you won't find that on his Christmas CD, Amaro Little Christmas. It's brand new for this year. But on his other Christmas CD, he's got a song on there that really fits for this 2020 season. Even Santa Gets the Blues. I think that would be a good one to play this year.
Okay.
See? I love the response. It's like so funny.
I'm not sure if he's going to be able to get and give presents this year with the whole COVID thing.
Well, you know what? The presents, as you said, and like you reminded your daughter, the gifts is just being able to see each other's faces. That's why I'm going to tell everybody, you know, remember, just stream your grandparents and your parents and your aunts and uncles that you haven't seen in a long time. And I think those talks and just talking about what's important. Mm. And, you know, like when you look back at, what's the show my mom watches all the time?
The Waltons.
When we're talking about that one and you're seeing how everybody gathered around the radio, and those were those special magic, everybody couldn't wait to finish their dinner and that was their family time. I'm really hoping that people do that this year. And I think the computers are going to have some issues and the internet's going to have some issues, you know. But, you know, we always can share and watch, even though we can't be there, at least today. Back then, they didn't have the technology other than radio. We have the capability to be able to see each other. And we might not be in the same room, but you know what? Doesn't mean you can't stay online streaming for a while and being a part of each other's, you know, Christmas dinners and, you know, sit each other's laptops around the table and spend some
time. Good news, too. He's always done this on Christmas Eve. Santa always social distances.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's true. He does.
You don't see
it? You know what? I bet his Santa magic, you know, probably can overcome the COVID thing anyway.
That's right. So
Don't worry, kids. You'll probably be well provided for by Santa this year. And, you know, I think I'm going to use that line with my friends. I'm going to say, you know what, for this year, this Christmas, I'm going to give you the gift of my face.
Nope. There you go. Right. See? Yeah. You see it every day, but you know what? I'm going to give it to you again. Now, all the live streaming shows, do you have anything coming up?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which has just gone back into code red. So we're kind of like just shy of lockdown mode here. You know, the essentials are all still opened up and stuff, and you can still drive through restaurants and that. But it's a bit hard to plan because it's hard to know exactly what we're going to be able to accomplish. But I do have a few things I've got in my mind. So I've done this annual Christmas show every year called A Merry Little Christmas. I promise you that we are going to do that in some capacity. It's most likely going to be an online streamed thing. But the cool thing about that is now we can open up to international. Like when it was just here in Winnipeg, you know, I sort of tap into my Winnipeg audience and I'm able to kind of give them a great show here. But this year, you know, because of all things online, it felt like it was the right year to sort of, again, open it up to the world. Like we can have this show in Australia and Europe and, you know, anywhere, China, US and South America. And so I think there's some really cool opportunities that come with that. So we will definitely be doing that show this year. I think the plan right now is December 19th for the show.
Okay.
And that will be people can live stream the show so there's a lot of ducks to line up and getting a row for that still, but it looks like it's going to happen. So there's that. And there might be a couple of smaller little online things that we'll do kind of leading up to that and just kind of connecting with folks. I haven't done a ton. I've done a few things, but I really just wanted, whatever I'm going to do, I want to make sure that it's really pleasant on the eyes and pleasant on the ears and not just like a phone set up in the corner of my office. And I feel like that can kind of, you know, there's a lot of that. And I'm not always like, I kind of can tune into those for 30 seconds to a couple of minutes and then I sign off. Cause I feel like it's got to, if you're going to take time out of people's day, you want to make it special. So that's always been my thinking. So.
Okay. Well, where can everybody see all the latest news for you? Just remind everybody.
Yeah. I mean, easiest way I think to find out and follow along is my Instagram feed's always busy with stuff. So at Don Amaro over there or my website, donamaro.ca.
Okay, perfect. And we just want to remind everybody that this brand new album, don't forget, you can purchase Don Amaro's latest EP, The Next Chapter, out now at MDM Records Incorporated and Universal Canada on iTunes, Amazon, and all your streaming services. So purchase, stream, share it, and there is a song on that EP that you love that's not on the radio today. Don't be afraid to call your local radio station and request it. Fans can really make a big difference. And you know what? You can create a really special gift for Don this year if you do that, and really make this album fly. So music matters, and we all need our music today. So don't forget, that's a great stocking stuffer, and you can start to shopping early.
Right? Awesome. Well, thanks, Kim.
Oh, we really appreciate you coming on the show and taking the time to share, you know, your life and, you know, just your thoughts and a part of your music and especially your musical journey. So it's been a real pleasure for us all. And we really appreciate all you do.
Just want to say thank you, Don. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. And you seem like a really, really nice guy and a great dad as well. So it's been a pleasure.
Oh. I'm super nice. Yeah, thank you.
Well, we really, really hope that you and your family, you know, stay safe, and that, you know, we just encourage everybody to really care about this album. And again, you can look out for A Merry Little Christmas, and that's coming up on December 19th. So awesome. Really, really cool. So again, thank you once again for being our special guest on Music's Journey, and we really look forward to anything else you got coming up. So stay in touch with us, and we'll have you back on.
Well, what a pleasure, you guys. Honestly, these long form conversations really, they're good for the heart and they're good for the soul, because again, you get, as an artist, it's, you know, a lot of times these interviews are, you know, just a couple of minutes and you're on and off the phone so quick. So it's nice to be able to, again, do the musical journey with you guys. So I really appreciate that.
I think that's what we're trying to, you know, trying to do with everybody, because it's important that we go through your body of work, because it's worth sharing and the reasons what got you here. And I know that the reps and a lot of the labels don't like us doing these long ones, but that's why I decided to do Music's Journey in the first place, because there was so much to be said and so much that you connect with your fans. And we just want to do everything we can for the artists and be able to share in everything that you guys are doing. And thank you for all you do.
Pleasure, you guys. Okay. All the best.
We thank the listeners once again. All the listeners out there that we want to take a moment to say thank you, from Australia to Mexico to Switzerland. We've had so many people that we've just been so surprised. Africa, gosh, there's so many of them in England and the UK and the US, you know, for making us international. And we really, really appreciate the listeners out there. So thank you once again to be a part of our Music's Journey. And we hope that we're bringing things that you love to hear. And you join us on the next ones that we got coming up. We got Ryan Laird. And, you know, what a special artist he is. Another Canadian artist that's coming up. And we have Andrew Hyatt, Adam Gregory, David Boyd James is coming back to talk to us, you know, about his new release. And we've got Owen Barney, and that's going to be kind of special. So we're looking forward to that. And we've got Aaron coming. Jason Blaine's coming back for some Christmas music. So we're looking forward to that. And Lemon Cash. So we got so much around the corner.
Don't forget Andy Kim.
Oh, yes. We have Andy Kim. And we're going to be talking about Lighthouse as well. We're going to have a very, very special two-session podcast that we're going to be talking to some of the great icons, rock icons. And we're really looking forward to it. So stay tuned. We got some great stuff coming up. And we got a brand new Christmas show that we're going to be doing that we're hoping that everybody's going to love. So it's going to be about 3 hours. And we're going to have some comedy in there. And we're going to have some laughs. And we're going to have some good times and some great new Christmas music as well as the classics. So I'm looking forward to it. What about you?
Absolutely. We love Christmas in this house. And the decorations are going up shortly. And I just can't wait.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. So again, thank you so much. And we really appreciate it. We'll catch you on the flip side.
A great big thank you going out to Don Amaro for being with us today. You've been listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com. Please like us on Facebook and share us on all your socials. Another one of our upcoming podcasts will be singer-songwriters Jesse T. and Carrie DeMare. Our theme music is titled I Can Tell, and is performed by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.